This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But, yeah, just unbelievable stuff. And now we're going to see if Alabama can beat Duke. Could you imagine seeing three teams, potentially, in this Final Four from the SEC?
Yeah, and then you get Duke, as you just mentioned, being the only team left from the ACC, a traditional basketball power. How about that game, Florida against UConn? That was a classic over the weekend. Hurley after the game.
Walking out the tunnel. Baylor, I hope they don't blank you like they blanked us. The Baylor kid's like, what is he talking about?
What is this guy doing? Basically having to carry him off of the court. You knew he was going to be like that. The Coach Cal, Coach Pitino matchup. I know a lot of hearts were broken across the country that wanted to see the Johnnies back in the mix. But I'll tell you what, Mike, for Coach Cal, year one, Sweet 16, pretty good.
Yeah, you know me. I've been ranting and raving about Rick Pitino, and technically he went one game further than Mike White did with Georgia, but I just don't think, and I got a bunch of buddies that are St. John's alum, and just they had not faced anybody with the size that and the athleticism. And Arkansas, look, I've never been a big fan of Calipari's X's and O's, but it would be some irony if he wins a championship in Arkansas after all those years that, you know, people in Kentucky got so frustrated with not getting to the ultimate prize. But his fours and fives, I don't think St. John's, Chris, had seen anything like that all tournament.
And then on the opposite side of the coin for St. John's, their best player just picks the worst game of his career to go absolutely ice cold.
But do you still bench him? That's the thing. I mean, I just wonder, you know, do you say, I'm going to be like Pat Riley was with John Starks that year? Just let him shoot us. Shooters got to shoot. We're going to live, ride, and die with this guy.
Well, he didn't respond well to it, Mike Bell, on the bench. Nope. So I don't know if it was the best thing for the morale for the Johnnies as they were trailing in that game. I was listening to a podcast this morning, and the analyst described it as the biggest difference between that game and all the other games from this year is that they've gotten in similar holes, but they were able to score their way out of it.
Yeah, RJ Lewis is who we're talking about. He's the Big East Player of the Year, and it's kind of like when Free got benched in the Super Bowl because it was working better for Coleman. Then Coleman gets hurt. And then Free comes out, and it was a combination of the Patriots thinking they could exploit Free in a pass play by Devontae Freeman, and also the fact that he was kind of in his bag a little bit, maybe wasn't as sharp as he needed to be. And so that was, you know, sometimes guys, they're just raring to go, or you sulk, or you get your head all screwed up. Either way, St. John's gone. And there goes my bet.
Yeah, well, and the other thing, too,
there's only $20 on it.
Here's the thing, Mike. The question now becomes, do you like this version of the tournament, where it's all chalk, or do you enjoy a Cinderella here and there?
Well, there's no more Cinderellas because all the Cinderellas leave those mid-majors to go to the big boys. You know, who was it? Was it Seth Greenberg can kind of go rant and raving, but he has some good points this morning on ESPN, or was it yesterday? Either way, he said that it's basically there are no Cinderellas because if you are any good at a mid-major, now you get picked up by the big boys. So he said the mid-majors, which, you know, gave us great runs like George Mason over the years, and Butler sort of became a brand, but Butler was a mid-major. Now all these guys, it's like those schools are like the G League, and now these guys all wind up at the big boy schools in the Big Four.
Yeah, and essentially now what it comes down to is you're going to have one of these powerhouse programs lifting up the trophy again, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it because it's good basketball, Mike. Like, I've heard so much complaining and bellyaching about this tournament this year, and I'm like, why? We've gotten some really good games between highly competitive teams. Like, yeah, is a Cinderella story nice? But once you get into the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight, you don't want to see, you know, 85-50 as your final score, which is what it is most of the time.
I mean, like, again, you're rooting for some of these plucky, you know, upset specials, and you just didn't get them. You know, that's about it. I mean, McNeese taking down Clemson, and McNeese didn't go much further, and now that coach, Wade Wills, he goes down on to NC State.
Yeah.
So it's just there's just not much of that kind of stuff. If you like it, I think, yes, you wouldn't want to see it. Look, CBS and TBS, they're not going to lie to you. I mean, they might lie to you. They don't want to see that in the Final Four. Those ratings go down when you don't have the blue bloods, when you don't have the big dogs out there. Duke, you know, can they do it with the injuries? Can they get past Alabama? You know, Houston, that's a school that's a perennial. You know, that's Kelvin Sampson. They're always really good. As long as they're shooting, they're great defensively, certainly. So they've got a shot. Kentucky and Tennessee, SEC on SEC violence. Texas Tech is, maybe you don't know much about them, but Arkansas and Texas Tech is going to be a great matchup. And then, style makes the fight.
Yeah, and then locally here, we get two treats on Friday at State Farm. You get Ole Miss and Michigan State. And then you get Michigan taking on Auburn, number one seed, coming to State Farm Arena on Friday. So that should be a great matchup as well.
You got Kevin Willard, who's been going round and round with his own athletic director in Maryland, and now basically he can punch his own. If there's better jobs out there, maybe the Texas job, Xavier, and there's apparently Xavier coach is going to take that job.
Yeah, but Sean Miller.
But we'll talk more about the hoops and also, you know, maybe open up the phones. How much have you watched? Have you watched more, less? I mean, where do you fall when it comes to March Madness? Because if you're an SEC fan, say for Georgia, you know, these teams are just putting some unbelievable numbers up. There's seven teams from the SEC in the tournament. Yeah, initially it didn't look so good for the SEC, but the cream rose to the top.
And the thing about the Georgia angle, the local angle, which is funny too, Mike, is we were on the air here on Thursday and Friday, during the game, after the game, and for the postmortem on Friday. You know what the God's honest truth was, Mike? Crickets.
Yeah, I just don't think people care about Georgia basketball. I've said this a lot. I did a rant on Friday. I'm not going to repeat the rant, but if you missed it, it was a really good rant. But no, I just, what do you care about? You care about football. Like, I went to Florida State. I could give a crap about Florida State men's basketball. You know, every now and again, they'll make a run. You know, and the Coach Hamilton is leaving. It's always been, you know, the year that the COVID came, that was probably Florida State's best chance, and they just never got it to do anything because the tournament got squashed. But, I mean, I can't lie. I don't get fired up. I mean, I've seen Bobby Surra, and hell, you take it all the way back to Dave Cowens play for FSU. But I know a lot of guys I go to school with, well, they graduate, I flunked out. But no one cares. Is it the same for Georgia? If you became Auburn or Alabama, or what Tennessee does, you know, perennially, what Kentucky does, would you then be more interested and then, you know, actually give a flip? Because I'm with you. I just think people, they want something to buy into, but it's the chicken and the egg. Until they get it, I think they're just there's apathy. Yes, you get apoplectic watching them get smoked by Gonzaga, but there's a degree of apathy.
Yeah, and then the apathy sets in when you lose by 30 points. That's the problem. So what it ultimately, I think, boils down to here is we're going to have a tournament where, yes, it doesn't have some of the dramatics and the flair that we've seen in other years as we get back into the later rounds, but I think the fundamental basketball is going to be really, really good. Like the Ole Miss-Michigan State game at State Farm at 7 o'clock on Friday, that's going to be a really good basketball game. Now, you have Tom Izzo, but other than that, is it the sexiest basketball game in the world? No, I'm not going to try to be a used car salesman and tell you on that. But then you get Auburn and Michigan. Those are two big brands. Michigan, right. You know, is in it every single year. Auburn's been a perennial power now for years. So it's kind of a trade-off. You get a nice little appetizer, then you get the main course. And that is sort of a representation, a micro or macrocosm, if you will, of the whole tournament.
Well, I mean, look, you know, Ole Miss fans, those guys, for bartenders downtown, those guys drink like fish. You know, Auburn fans get it in. Easy for Auburn fans. You don't even have to get the hotel. That doesn't exactly help, you know, as far as, you know, some of the loot you're going to make. Unless, you know, you still want to, you know, not have to worry about driving and just go get, you know, schnockered at the downtown at the Omni or wherever. Or, matter of fact, shout out to the Signia. Wife surprised me, a little staycation.
Nope.
She had this big dental hoot nanny for her line of work over the weekend and stayed at Signia. We've done the shows over there at the Nest on 4th. Great spot. But, yeah, man, so many cool spots downtown. Once they get the whole Centennial Yards finished, can't imagine what that's going to be like in time for the World Cup.